Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I love it. You can't take it with you when you go. Oh, praise God. Let's do this morning. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us as I teach here, and we'll hear from the Word of God and move you into your new week this week. You know, school starts next month. All the parents said amen. Hallelujah. How many know God's good? How many visitors may think, you guys are crazy. You keep saying that. No, we just know Him. He's very, very, very good. Hallelujah. I'm going to start a new series this morning. I tried to start it a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, I'm not God. So He wanted to do something else, and we followed that, and it was good. But let's open our hearts this morning to hear the Word. Father, we just come before You, and we thank You. We praise You because You're good. Lord, we enter into Your courts and Your gates with thanksgiving and praise. We honor You. Lord, we intentionally turn our hearts toward You and to listen, to hear what You would say to us. Holy Spirit, You're our teacher. You're the one who leads us and guides us. You're the one who brings truth and revelation. Your Word is bringing light, and the entrance of that Word brings light and understanding. It's a lamp to us. So, Father, I thank You that You are going to honor Your Word, that Holy Spirit, You are going to do what You said You would do, that You're going to bring conviction to hearts this morning, that You're going to open the eyes of our understanding, that we will see those who are born again, who are Christians, will see, will understand even more, have greater illumination into Your ways, Your truth, Your plan and purpose for our lives. If there are those here who don't know, Lord, You're going to convict them that the need for You. And we just are so grateful that You're such a good God, that it is Your goodness that leads us to repentance. It is Your goodness, it is Your light that shines in this dark world, that brings about change and substance, that brings about truth and healing and wholeness to our lives. So we reach in faith on purpose right now to You in our hearts, and we say, speak to us, open our eyes, let us see. Father, speak through me this morning. I yield the pastoral gift to You, and I ask You to speak through me. Give me boldness and love to say as I ought to say and what to say according to Your utterance. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Why don't you open your Bibles this morning? We got a few minutes here, and we'll go through the Scriptures. Would you open, if you would please, to a verse in the Bible? Let's go to Matthew 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. I can feel it. You say, what can you feel, Sean? Well, as a pastor, there are just things you get to know. The Lord will deal with me about certain things, but we're breaking into a new series, and God wants to... It's interesting because knowledge from the Word of God gives us, it builds. I think Pastor Dan mentioned it last week. I know I heard it anyway, maybe he didn't mention it, but there's a scripture that talks about building line upon line and precept upon precept. And our lives are supposed to increase steadily in the Word of God. There's foundational truths that we should always revisit. And when we revisit them, what they do is they strengthen what you already know. But God, and Paul talked about this. Paul said, there's a foundation that's been laid, so be careful what you build upon it. Well, there's only one solid source of good building material for our lives, and this is it right here. It's the Word of God. You say it's a book. No, it's more than a book. It's the words of our Heavenly Father. It's the divine utterance that came out of heaven. This actual Word is the bones. You can't see it, but it's the bones and the structure to everything that we function in this natural world. In the beginning, God said. He said what? Let there be light. How many notice that light shows up every morning? Okay? the structure of the sun, the structure of the earth, the structure of the universe. The Bible actually says that he holds it all together by the power of his word. Isn't that amazing? That is just phenomenal. Sometimes I'll think about it and I think, you know, because we have our world and, you know, we got scientists and all this stuff that are godless in their understanding of things. And, you know, godlessness is darkness, so you really can't understand a subject until you have God in your life, because God is light and he brings forth light. You can understand principles of what was created, but if you want to understand the fullness of what is there, you have to know God. And if you don't know him, you will not understand the fullness of it. I don't care how smart you think you is. You don't understand, Sean, I've got multiple degrees. I know. And your degrees compared to God amount to. God looks down at our understanding, natural understanding and knowledge and wisdom and things like that. And he looks at it and he says, well, that's simple. I'm using a nice word, simple. He does that. Why? Because he knows so much more than we do. It's good to know the one who knows it all. There is no situation that you are currently in. There is no problem that you are currently facing. There is no problem that exists today on the planet that God does not understand and already have a solution for. It doesn't exist. People say, well, why don't I have the answer? Have you sought God? Have you gone after him? Because if you do, he'll give you an answer. Amen? You say, what does this have to do with salt and light? I don't know yet. We'll find out. I know as much as you do at this point. Well, I want to go over this real quick this morning, just in the first part of this. And if you're taking notes, for part one, I have catching the heart of heaven. So this is salt and light. And for part one here, I have catching the heart of heaven. And I just want to share with you about our church. And not because I don't think you know what the vision of Faith Family Church is. I want you to have an understanding of where we're going by the leading of the Holy Spirit into this next part, this next phase of the church. You know, we've had phases all the way through this. We rented a building, and then we bought the building, and then we refinished the building. And in the process of this, what has happened is people have come to the building. And we have more people today than we did when we started. Because when we first started, I preached to about this. The first two rows here, okay? And it's continued to grow. Why is that? Because God is doing something in people's lives. God is shedding his light forth. We are obedient servants. We're obedient kids of his. And what we do is simply this. We cannot manufacture the power of God. We can't make it up. But we could be entertaining to you. We could try and entertain you and do things, but then we'd be just like the world and there'd never be really any change. You'd have an emotional experience. It would be fun, but there's something different when you come into a place where God is the focus of everything. Because you experience power that you didn't experience before, but you can't understand it and you can't see it. Isn't that amazing? But yet the Holy Spirit ministers to you through the people that are ministering, through the people that you greet, that greeted you when you came in the door. Hopefully, they didn't slap you. They shook your hand. They reached out to you. You experience the love of God. You experience the goodness of God, which some of that Pastor Dan talked about last week. So I just want to share some things with you just about what we're doing as we move forward. One of the things the Lord spoke to me when we started the church is that we were to run our church like a church that the Lord had, or a minister that I knew years ago that shared, went to his Bible school, Brother Hagin, talked about his Farmersville church. He called it Farmersville. It was in Farmersville, Texas. He said there are three types of services that he had in his church. Sunday mornings were believers' meetings, similar to what we see in what the Corinthian church during that time. Sunday evenings were evangelistic meetings, because that is when all the visitors would come to church. And finally, Wednesday nights were teaching or discipleship meetings where believers came together to study the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? Years ago, visitors visited church on Sunday night, not Sunday morning. Times change. How many have noticed that?
Now, in their community, I think it was like a farm ranch community, so I don't know if they had a lot to do in the morning and nothing to do in the evening or what. But their visitors would come on Sunday evenings. So in the mornings, they had more believer-type meetings. You say, what does that mean? That means there was nobody there who really had a real novice knowledge of God. They knew God. They experienced God. They had a relationship with God. And they would come together and have believers' meetings. They were all generally believers. And then in the evenings, the believers would come together in faith for those who didn't know the Lord. Do you know strong believers don't just think about themselves? You know, I've been in church for a while now. 20 years, solid. Now, I was raised in church, but I was just there. You know what I mean? I wasn't really all that paying attention. But the longer, and then the Lord called me to ministry, the longer I've been in ministry, I've realized something. There are believers that are mature. And you know what the number one thing about mature believers is that I've noticed above? Now, I'm not talking, now listen to me closely because I want you to hear this. I'm not talking about believers that have been saved a long time. Just because you're born again doesn't mean and you've been saved for 20 years doesn't mean you're mature. I got like 3 nods on that one. Few. Say amen or oh me, one or the other. What I've found about really mature believers, and this is something the Lord's really challenged me with, mature believers will think about others before themselves. Mature believers will think about others before themselves. Now, I'm not just talking about, I mean, of course, in day-to-day and all of those things, we just had our marriage weekend yesterday and then Friday night, and you go through those classes and you go through those studies and you start reading the scriptures and I'm going, oh dear Lord, I got a lot of work to do. Yeah, but you've been saved for 20 years, 21 years, 22 years. Yeah, and I still got growing up to do. And so that's okay, but what I've found out is mature believers don't just think about themselves, they think about other people. They don't just come into any circumstance, whether it be work, whether it be a family something, whether it be church, and just think about, what does this church have for me? You know what I need? What I need is mature believers come and go, how can I give? You want to know why? Because they know their master. And what does their master do? He. See, strong believers, strong mature believers, they develop over time. And this is not an overnight thing. Jesus put it to us like this. Take up your cross daily and come. And which means what? Daily, you're going to have to put something to death that is not of God in your life. That makes sense? And so that's where that mature believer comes from. So what they would do is in the evening services, they would have all these visitors. So the believers who already knew the Lord, the believers who are already born again, the believers who already experienced God, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, had the power of God operating in their life, they would come together during that service. They would invite their neighbors. They would bring their friends. They would greet those who visitors who came in. And they didn't look at this as an opportunity for something for me, but rather I am here to give my life for you. You know, I'm in the Pentecostal Word of Faith, charismatic, how many names are there? Groups. You say, do you love them? I absolutely love it. I love all kinds of services. I think it's hilarious when people are full of the Spirit of God and laying on the floor, laughing. Love those services. I like services, but I like services where it's just worship for a solid service. You ever been in a service like that? Man, you know what happens? I like all kinds of different services. I like services where just the Word of God is taught. One verse after another, one verse after another, where they're building and establishing a truth inside of me. It's like, how many know this? How many have seen a house built or you've built your own house before? Do people go and get really excited about the foundation? Now, anybody that's in building will. Because they know if that foundation ain't right, everything, it doesn't matter how pretty your countertops are. If your kitchen is sinking in the middle, it's no good. These are granite countertops. Yeah, but you can't even stand in your kitchen. A lot of believers' lives are like that. A lot of believers' lives are like that. I'm talking about spirit-filled, been in the Word for years, Christians. Why? Because something in the foundation stage was missed. You know, the foundation's boring. It's gray. Except on the outside, they paint that black tar around so moisture doesn't come into the concrete. And there's a bunch of dirt around, and there's no landscaping. And you can walk out there, and dust is getting all over everything, and you're looking, and there's metal rods sticking out of the concrete, and you can see some of the plumbing they put in the basement, and none of that looks any good. It's useless to you at this point. But that's the most important part. Because as strong as your foundation is as tall or as high or as wide as you can build. And your structure needs foundation. It needs substance. It needs, your life needs the Word of God daily. More than a spiritual goosebump. Amen or oh me. You need your foundation steady, Eddie. Why? Because that's what established those decisions that you make all the way through the day with your spouse, with your kids, with your money, with your family, with your job, with your business, with your... Come on. That's what gives you that steady, steady feeling. It's what causes maturity to rise up within you. And when maturity rises up within you, your world will be different. Your world will be different. So what they would do on Sunday nights is it would be more outreach, and then on Wednesdays they would have discipleship. I want to share something with you. We're going to do that here. Sunday mornings will be geared more toward people coming in and receiving Christ. You'll get the Word. Don't worry about that. You'll get fed. Wednesday nights will be more about discipleship. Of course, they already have been, where we just get in for an hour and we study the Word of God and we teach. People are like, well, I've had so much teaching. I know, but are you applying it? See, people that are excited about the Word of God apply what they hear. People that are disappointed about the Word of God have not done it. They haven't done it. And let me just say this, because this is just a principle of life. Diets don't work unless you do them. You say, you got to get off on that, preacher. It just hits home so well. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. I've been eating them Twinkies for years. I haven't lost a pound. Twinkies are not diet food. Still settling in with you. I'm getting smiles all over the place. Like, just move on, preacher, move on. It's the same with the Word of God. The Word of God works for those who work it. James said it like this. He said, the doer of the Word will be blessed. You know what's interesting about that scripture to me? The interesting fact about that scripture to me is, he didn't say, those who feel like doing the Word and do it will be blessed. It's the doer. Now, let me challenge you with this. Look through your life. Don't just think about what you've done wrong, okay? Don't just think about what you're not doing. Look through your life and think about what you have done that is biblical. And what are the results that are in your life? How many have heard teaching on stewardship financially? How many have stewarded their money and watch it grow? See, that's a success in that area. So now you can look at other areas of your life and go, now where are the holes in the thing, in my house, spiritual house here? And then you go to the Word of God, you find those scriptures, and then you get opportunity to do them. Do you know what the thing about obeying the Word of God is? In order to obey the Word of God, you have to pick a desire that your flesh does not have. In other words, when God tells you, love your neighbor as yourself, but your neighbor continues to do something to irritate you, do you feel like loving them? But what would the Lord, what was the Lord's word to you? Love your neighbor as yourself. So discipleship has that effect. Discipleship where you hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, and then do the word, it has that effect. It transforms the way you think, and then you apply that to your life, and then it changes your life. And when you do that, then you get the blessing of the Lord upon your life. And strong believers help weak believers. Strong believers help those who don't know the Lord at all. Strong believers are a light. They're salt. They're light in their world. So let me share. I want to share something with you that Brother Hagin experienced. This is out of his book called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Page 41 and 42, if you want to look it up, you can. But he says this. Years ago, he had a visitation from the Lord. In other words, the Lord visited him and talked to him. And he recounted the event by saying, even in our individual church services and meetings, we can miss God's purpose and fall short of his best. As I was caught up in the Spirit with Jesus, he told me that he has a plan and a purpose for every meeting. Boy, I don't know if you realize this, but did you listen to everything that was said prior to this message? Did you listen to the songs that were sung prior to this message? We did not get together and do a collaboration of, okay, Mike, now you talk about order before I get up and preach. I didn't tell him that. He just heard it from the Lord. The Holy Spirit's trying to get one point across this morning. How many can see that? So when it comes to having church, when it comes to services, this is what the Lord told Brother Hagin. When it comes to meetings, Jesus said, men make their own plans and then ask me to bless their plans. He says, I bless them as far as I can, but I cannot put my full approval and blessing upon them because men are pursuing their own plans, even in church. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Flesh is flesh is flesh is flesh. It's flesh in a Christian as much as it is as somebody who's in the world. You have your own plans, you have your own desires, and you have to set those things aside in order to follow the plan and the purpose of God. And that takes some discipline. It takes some growing up. Amen? Then he spoke to me about the different kinds of meetings. This is what the Lord told Brother Hagin when he visited him. He said, there are believers' meetings. There are evangelistic meetings. There are healing meetings. There are teaching meetings. There are prayer meetings. There are worship services, and so forth. You say, how can that be? I've never seen that. Read through the book of Acts. Read through the Gospels. You will see all different kinds of services that the Holy Spirit led those people in. He said this, and this was a few years ago, but I still see it. He said, where you are missing it today, in your culture, in the United States, I like that. He just points out the U.S. He said, you try to put all those kinds of meetings into one service. And so you never really reach the full potential of any meeting. Isn't that interesting? That's interesting. Do you know what I've found out through the years? You say, why do you teach series? Because it takes a while to get people to faith. Because they come in with everything in their mind from their days, their weeks, their years, their upbringing, their family life. You know, all these things come in. And it takes a while to get people out of a worldly or certain mentality. It doesn't mean it's sinful necessarily. A natural way of thinking over into the thinking of the Lord. It takes time in order to get people into that place of faith. And then when you do, what happens is you get the full reward of full obedience or full faith and expectation. That's what takes place. And it just takes time. He says this. He said, sometimes in our camp meetings, because he would have special meetings, which is a camp meeting type setting, he said, we have time to combine many different kinds of services. However, people in a church setting often try to have constant camp meeting or a crusade type services. You can't have camp meeting all the time. In order for people to get a balanced spiritual diet, there needs to be all kinds of meetings. When we try to have all kinds of meetings in one, none of them are as successful as they could be. Then the Holy Spirit is hindered from moving like he wants to move because man is operating according to his own purpose and not according to God's purposes. Although his power will be in manifestation as much as possible under the circumstances, it won't be all that God has in store for us. Then he makes this statement, but if we'll learn God's purpose for each meeting and emphasize that, we'll have success in every meeting we hold. I'm reciting you, Brother Hagin said this, I'm reciting you to you the things that the Lord said to me during this visitation. I don't know about you, but some of the things he said to me corrected my thinking. As Christians, when we get to thinking and feeling like we've experienced it and know it all, we're in a dangerous place. A very dangerous place. Why? Because now we're no longer following and yielding and humbling ourselves and submitting to the Lord. We've now ingrained ourselves into a certain pattern of thinking and way, and that is the only way. And if people aren't going to do it that way, then I'm not going to. And that's all love right there, isn't it? What are you thinking about? Are you just thinking about you? Or are you thinking about the person sitting across the aisle over here? Or did you come just to only, this is what I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. We have needs, but as you meet somebody else is what takes place. You seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then what happens? All these things are what? Added to you. You say, well, that's difficult. I just want the preacher to pray everything for me. It is not my job to pray through your life every day, all day. Well, then I'm going to find a church where they will. You won't find a church where they will. Well, you may find a church where the preacher may commit to it. He won't be able to do it. Well, what is the primary job or your purpose here, preacher? Why are you here? Why are we even sitting here? My job is to teach you what the Lord said so that you can do the work of the ministry. I don't have time to go into detail on that right now, but if you have questions, please come see me after the service. I'll be glad to point it out to you in Ephesians 5. And people say, well, I thought Christianity was sitting in the seat on Sunday and maybe giving a dollar or two to the Lord. Oh, it's a whole lot bigger. Keep hanging around. You'll figure it out. It's a whole lot bigger than what you think. That's just the religious system that man has set up. You're actually supposed to be not just have church. You are the church. People say, well, I want to go to the church and lay hands on the sick. Why don't you go to Walmart and lay hands on them? Woo-hoo. Take a lap. Well, I thought the preacher had to do all that stuff. No, 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 no. The preacher can do it. I do it. I've laid hands on people in Walmart. I've prayed for drunks in front of Walmart. There's a lot of them. You just go there. I've been to Walmart at a weird hour. You walk in, you go, oh, Jesus, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. He died for them too. Sometimes I go to Walmart, I think, man, they just like jumped out of bed and came here. They just went right from their bedroom to the car and got in the cereal aisle. You know what I mean? Like, dear Lord. You know, the clothes are sectioned. Pajamas in the store, but people don't care. They wear their pajamas to Walmart, you know. Glory to God. Thank God for Walmart, otherwise you wouldn't have laughed right there. So, okay. You say, what is the purpose of this? Well, we're introducing something here. We're almost done. Hang with me. We're introducing something here. I'm sharing what the Lord has said to us. So you say, what does that mean for Faith Family Church? Sunday mornings are going to be services where we want the lost in here. Not just that. I mean, we're not just bringing them to the bin, so to speak. We want you to learn how to go out and minister to people out there too. You know, your Christianity will become much less boring if you learn how to witness to somebody out of a church setting. If you learn how to be a light where you are. You know, some Christians are just bored because they've never been trained how to be a light where they are. Like, well, I just have to read my Bible and then someday I'm going to die and I'll go to heaven. Or you can be the light of the world through Christ living in you wherever you're at, and your life will cease being boring as a Christian. So what we're going to do here is this. Sunday morning's lost oriented. Still have the God move, of course. Spirit of God's here, always. Then every once a month, we're going to have believers meetings. You say, what are believers meetings? Believers meetings are where everybody comes together and we seek God together. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation. People are learning how to flow in tongues and interpretation, learning how to flow in prophecy, learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole lot more moves of the Spirit that the church has not seen yet outside of those things. Wednesday nights are discipleship. This is a time where if you're a believer, now you could bring the lost to any service. Okay? But if we're all speaking in other tongues in the believers meeting, the lost might sit there and look at you and go, you guys have all lost your minds. Or maybe you lost yours and we have ours. I just love that. Anyway, so I like to win the lost. So discipleship will happen where what? You're establishing, because you need to be fed spiritually as a believer. The Bible calls these words milk. The Bible calls these words meat. The Bible calls these words bread. This is spiritual sustenance to your spiritual gut. Some people are wandering around half passed out spiritually because they haven't eaten a meal in weeks or months. They are spiritually malnutrition, and you need that. You need the gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts at operation in your life. The apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. You say, that wasn't in order. Who cares? They're all there. You need them in your life. Why? Because they are here to what? Strengthen you, build you up, teach you, correct you, rebuke you. Oh, no, I don't want any rebukes. No rebukes. Because the Lord never rebuked anybody, right? Well, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can rebuke me. That's cute. That's cute. Come on, we're strong, church. We can handle these things, right? Why? Because we're not just here just to kind of pass the time. We're here to do kingdom work. We're going to be strong. We're so strong, people, they'll be freaking out over the economy or other things, and you just sit there and go, praise the Lord. God's going to take care of us. Where other people are going, Jesus, we're drowning. He's going, what are you so afraid of? Well, he wouldn't say that to me. You're right. He's different than the Bible. No, he would say it to you. Don't you care that we're going to perish? And what are you so afraid of? Rise and speak to your situation in the name of Jesus. Amen? So those are the types of services. Of course, we'll have discipleship and things like that as far as men's group, all that stuff that you heard in announcements. But I want to leave you with this scripture this morning in Matthew 5. I know I had you go there first. And then I'm going to have Taylor come up and share her testimony from youth camp. I'm going to put the microphone. Which one do you want me to use, Josh? Doesn't matter. Okay. I'm going to put it right here so I don't forget. She's like, I almost got away. We are salt and light. So, turn to your neighbor and say, I am salt, I am light. Jesus said so. Christianity is more than a religion, it is a relationship. As Christians, we know when we pass from this earth, we will go straight to heaven to be with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. But this is not all Christianity is about. The Lord had more in mind when he redeemed you from the power of the devil. Thank God I'm redeemed from the power of the devil. God intended that we become ambassadors for him and bring others into the family of God before we go to heaven and before Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of glory. Reinhard Bonnke, anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? He said this, "We have only as long as we live to reach those who live as long as we live." You're preaching on Salt and Light, you're going to call us all to the mission field? You are in one right now. If I agree to the will of God, God will send me to China. No, he won't. He'll send you to your job. He'll send you to your family. I don't even like them. Well, you should get saved, brother. And love them. Again, mature believers don't think about themselves. They think about somebody else. You say, that's tough. Yeah, I know, right? Isn't it? We have only as long as we live to reach those who live as long as we live. The goal of this series is to stir up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to lift their eyes and see that the harvest is white and the laborers are. You think it's changed? Nope. People say, well, I don't know if the harvest is white. No, the harvest is white. Jesus said so. It's white. Go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Let's read this scripture so at least we can say we've read one. Jesus said, "You are the what? Salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be..." Are we supposed to be hidden Christians? I'm undercover. I'm hiding. I want everybody to see me. You know? If you got this light in you and it's beaming out and you go, "Cover me up. I look different than them." Yeah, you're light, they're dark. I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about spirit. Skin color, that's tongues. I'll give you the interpretation. It don't matter. I'm glad I did that when I wasn't in front of somebody. Because it... you say, what do you mean? This is not about skin color. This is not about eye color, hair color, dress code. No, come on, none of that. It's about a spiritual reality. You have light in you, and there is darkness in people around you, and you are the light in your world. So don't, the Lord has set you on a hill, so don't try and cover yourself up. Be a light. If somebody at work comes to you and says, "Oh, I got all these situations going on," you go, "I pray for you." You say, "Well, I don't know the answer." You're not the answer. Jesus is. Just let the Holy Spirit do his work through you and in you. Amen? Your life will be more exciting, I promise you. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. In other words, Jesus did not light you on fire to put you under. You put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, come on, good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, let it shine, let it shine. You should pray in the morning, "Lord, put me on a pedestal, put me on a pedestal." You see, that's unbiblical. No. Read it again. Verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a what? Basket, but they put it on a lamp. Put me on a lampstand, Lord. I'm ready. What will I say? God loves you. Yeah, but I didn't go to Bible college. So what? Tell them how Jesus saved you. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. They don't want to know that anyway. They don't want a breakdown of the Greek in every language, of every word in the Bible. They don't. They want to know, is there hope out of the mess that I'm in? Is there hope for my marriage? What about the situation I have with my kids? Come on. I was raised in an abusive home. What helped you? My parents are alcoholics. What can I do? I'm addicted to this and that. What can I do? And you go, Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And that will begin to open you up to being a light in your world. Amen? Being a light. Reinhard Bonnke, finally, I'll leave you with this. He said this. I'm going to quote him a lot because he's a good evangelist. But he said this. We have only one generation to save a generation. Now, this is repetitive. I realize that. But it's just new words. He says, every generation needs regeneration. Because for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have. Everybody. People say, well, I've never sinned in my life. That's a sin right there. You need, come on, Jesus paid it. All to him I. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The world around us that says, oh, I hate those Christians. I'm going to tear the Ten Commandments down. I'm going to do this. And they're all upset. They should be praising God for us. Because we be salt. And once we leave, guess what this earth is going to do? Oh, it ain't going to be good. You don't want to be around. You want to be in him, amen? You want to be in him. You want to be in him. And I'll just encourage you with this. If you don't know for sure that you're in him, you come see me right after the service. Come see, we'll make sure you know before it's done. You say, what are you going to do? I will pray with you. It'll be scary. You'll know that you know in your heart that when you get out of this earth, you're going right to heaven with Jesus. That makes sense? You know, God has not changed his mind. He's still seeking and saving those who are lost. Let's pray, and then I'll have Taylor get up and share her testimony, and then we'll be done. But let's pray. I want you to think about this right now. Grab something in your mind. Grab this. Who's lost in your family? Who do you come in contact every day at work or in your sphere of influence, wherever that is, that doesn't know the Lord? Get that person in your mind. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You just agree with me. And we'll watch and see how God moves. Amen? He came to seek and save. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know that person or persons that we have in our mind. And Father, we just lift them up to you right now. Lord, we forgive any hurt they've done to us. We let go of offenses and hurts. We let go of anything that they have done or haven't done or should have done or could have done and didn't do, whatever the case may be. We allow your love to flow through us to them right now in the name of Jesus, unhindered by unforgiveness or hurt. And Father, we just lift them up to you. We pray and ask in the name of Jesus that you would set us on a lampstand around them, Lord. That we would be a light to them, but by the grace of God and the power of the resurrection that is within us, Lord, that we would be able to and would yield to you and be a light to them in our words, in our facial expressions, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in whatever way, Holy Spirit, we open our heart to you as you, as we're in these situations and around these people, we thank you. We ask that you would burden us with a specific thing for them. And Father, we thank you that you, by your grace, all things are possible. We will do it and be a light in our world. Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. We take authority over your blinders over these people in the name of Jesus. And we are those who sat in darkness will see a great light. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Now listen, you better expect. Because I am. Now, I can't do your believing for you, but you can believe. Taylor, would you come? This is what happens when you're the preacher's kid. Hi. It's okay, I'm with you. They're not that scary. Look at them. Look at them in the eyes. We got this. So, you guys know that. I guess camp was how long ago? Here, hold this. You can practice. Is that on? Test it.
Test.
It's on. Camp, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Is that what it was? A month ago? Was it last year? Who knows? Anyway, school's starting next month, so it's all good. And so we had Nate and Eli share. Or not Eli. Nate and what's his name? Caleb, yeah. Ella and Selah, I got your kids right. That was good. Maddie shared, Kylie shared, and so Taylor was in children's, was it? It wasn't last week, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, we crammed a lot in the service last week. And so I wanted Taylor to share because she was in kids, and so welcome Taylor McFarlane.
At camp this year, I experienced the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You say, why do you do that? Because I love my kids. That's why. Oh, glory to God. You know, it can be as simple. People say, well, that's pretty simple. I know, and your witness can be that simple too. Just share.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.